Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll begin there this morning. Isaiah chapter 30. Pastor said, I'm going to share a little bit this morning about the process that the Lord has taken us through and is continuing to take us through as He's leading us to a new place of ministry in Newfoundland, in Stephenville, to work there. Had a comment made to me recently, not here, but recently by someone that they said something to the effect that, wow, it just seems very sudden that you're making this move, this transition to a new ministry. And I understand that it may seem that way because it was just a few months ago that we sent out the letter and announced it to our supporting churches. And even our own family members have only known about it for just a few months at that. But for us, this has been quite a long process. This is a process that the Lord started in our lives back in July of last year. And it's something that's been continuing and even is still continuing even today. Let's take a look here at Isaiah chapter 30 in verse 21. And I'll grab some thoughts from this verse. Here, Isaiah 30 verse 21, it says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Now, the Word of God is rich with many promises for guidance, for direction, for the life of a believer. And this is just one of many. We could turn to many passages in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, especially Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is probably one of the more well-known passages. Also Psalms 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But many other passages as well. But here, we see a little bit of insight into how the Lord directs and leads in the life of a believer. Here it says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the left hand or to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." God works in different ways to direct His children to the path or to the direction that He wants them to go. Many times we look at and we use the phrase open doors or closed doors. And we all have a general understanding of what that means. That the Lord opens a door, allows you to go a certain way, and He closes a door to where you clearly know that something is not the way that you should go. And usually what we mean by that is that the Lord orchestrates circumstances in such a way that one way is clearly blocked and you know for sure, and it's usually evident to many others as well that this way is blocked and this isn't the way that you should go. On the other hand, an open door is also something that's evident to everyone else around you usually because it's circumstances that the Lord uses to orchestrate and it's just a clear path. It's the way that you should go. So the Lord does do that, and that is a biblical term as well. We find that in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul used the term open door several times throughout. We won't take the time to look at them this morning, but if you look in Colossians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 16, and 2 Corinthians 2, we see Paul speaking several different times about an open door. A great door is open unto me and effectual, meaning he has an open opportunity at the place he was at to spread the gospel. And he was speaking at that point, he was in Ephesus. And as we know from reading the New Testament history, Apostle Paul stayed for more than 2 years there in Ephesus, preaching and teaching and expounding the word of God to the people there. And so Paul used that term, an open door, a great door is opened unto me. That is how the Lord chooses to work and to direct his people. But there are times too where the Lord does not always work that way. The Lord doesn't always work through circumstances and use circumstances to, I don't know how else to say it, to force you into a certain way that you should go. A lot of times, the Lord will just simply work inside a believer through the Holy Spirit through the prompting, through the reading of the Bible and through prayer, and just work inside a believer to show him through that still small voice that this is what I want you to do. And it's a different way, because it's not always evident to everyone else. That's something that's inside a believer that it's between him and the Lord. He can share testimony with others, but others don't necessarily see it. And those two ways, and when the Lord works inside a believer, as is mentioned here, the still small voice, which we know is the Holy Spirit. We go turn to the Gospel of John and look, John chapter 13, 14, 15, and we understand a little bit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit who was sent to lead us and guide us into all truth, to direct our paths as believers. And so the Lord works in different ways, using open and closed doors or working inside a believer to just prompt him through the Holy Spirit that this is what you should do. And that's the situation that we found ourselves in this past July, when the Lord began to work in my heart about a possible ministry change. I didn't bring it with me this morning, but I have have another journal that I keep where I have my quiet time with the Lord. And I was going back reading through that just yesterday, just to remember the process that the Lord took us through to get us to that point. And it was July 16th of 2017 is my first recorded entry of when the Lord brought to mind that maybe we were done in Bonavara, that maybe we should consider serving him in a different place. And it wasn't just a vague idea like that. The Lord put in my heart and my mind, specifically, Stephenville, Newfoundland, serving with Patrick and Emily O'Brien. And at first, when that came up, it took me by surprise. Okay, where did that come from? That's I don't need to be thinking that way. And I tried to put it out of my mind as best I could. Like, no, this is our ministry here. This is where we're supposed to serve. And so I tried to put it out of my mind to suppress it and just go ahead on with the ministry there in Bonavara. But as the days went along, that thought kept resurfacing, and it was something that I could not get away from. And so I decided, well, it's not going away, so it's obviously something I need to spend time in prayer about, seek the Lord's face about. And at that time, I didn't share it with anybody. I didn't even share it with Katie at that time, because I was still in shock, really. I didn't know what to make of it. Is this me? Is this my desire surfacing? Is this just something that I want to do, or is this really of the Lord, what he has put there? And so I spent some time in prayer and just reading through the Word of God, just to try to understand what the Lord wanted from this. What was his purpose? What does he want from me? And went on for about, I think it was about a week, maybe 2 weeks, before I even mentioned anything to Katie. And during that time, I had begun to pray specifically that if the Lord, if this was truly of the Lord, if this was his will for us to move ministry locations, then I prayed and I asked him, I said, Lord, will you work in Katie's heart the same way? Impress on her heart the same way without me having to bring it up and plant the idea in her head, so to speak. And so I prayed about it separately for about 2 weeks before we even talked about it. And through course of conversation, the Lord allowed it to be brought up as Katie and I were talking about 2 weeks later. And I brought it up and mentioned, I said, this is something that I can't get away from, this thought that maybe we're supposed to be serving in Newfoundland with Emily and Patrick. And she told me later she was very much shocked when she heard it. Not because she didn't want to, but just because it was very unexpected for her. But also, the Lord had been dealing in her life the same exact way for the same amount of time. So when the Lord impressed it on my heart, as best we can figure out, the Lord impressed it on her heart at the same time, and we had begun praying about it separately without ever talking to each other. And then we talked to each other and understood that the Lord was working in our hearts in the same exact way. And not just in a vague general area, but very specifically with very clear directions as to place and who we're to serve with and all of that. And so at that point, when we understood that, okay, this is something that's very real here, this isn't just something that we've come up with on our own, really at that point, it was probably one of the greatest struggles that we've ever dealt with. One of the greatest, we've never wrestled with a decision this much as we did with this one. I know many might think and look at the circumstances and say, well, okay, you're moving from the middle of Siberia to a more modern location. You're going to be with family, going to be serving with them. Of course, there's the perks. Of course, you'd be happy to do that. And yes, we are. But at the time, it was a very real struggle for us because Vannevar was home. Siberia was home. That was our place of ministry. That's where the Lord had planted us. We were perfectly content there. We had no grand visions of moving on to anything else or anything. We were there, and we wanted to see a church started, minister there, get to know the people. And we felt like from our perspective that the Lord was giving us great inroads into the community there. We had met a lot of people through different things. Elliot had started taking the cross-country skiing lessons, and so that broadened our exposure in the community with the trainers there and the other kids. And I had the opportunity to do some translation work for one of the federal preserves there, nature preserves, and just different things that the Lord had brought to us that we felt like, okay, this is a good step. We're starting to make, more than just the beachhead. We're starting to make inroads, into the community here. And but the Lord very clearly worked, and there was that struggle back and forth that, okay, yes, if this is what the Lord wants for us, then yes, we want to go do that, but our hearts are here. This is where we've grown to love. These are the people that we love. This is our home. Was in Vannevar, was in Siberia. And we had that. It was a wrestling match in our souls, and it was very prevalent. There were many days where it felt like there was just this huge burden on our shoulders that we just could not get away from because that struggle was so real. And so that was in July, and into August we approached our coworkers about it, the Dean family, and then our pastor and our mission board director, and just shared with them, said, this is what's going on. We don't know what it means just yet, what the Lord wants from us, but will you pray with us about it? And they agreed to pray with us. And so for the next few months, from August through December, we really didn't talk to anyone else about it. We got along with the Lord. We spent many hours just reading His Word, many hours praying, and many hours talking with each other, myself and Katie, and just really seeking the Lord's face. And I'll share a couple things during that process. One of the things that I've heard many, many times in just a few short years that I've been in the ministry, when someone is seeking the will of God concerning a matter, what the Lord wants them to do, many times you hear the phrase, well, I'm praying about it, or I've prayed about it, and this is what I want to do. Well, that's well and good, but how did you pray? What did you pray? And most importantly, did you get an answer for it? Because just saying, I'm praying about it, that's very good. But how did God answer? And so Katie and I talked, and there were several things that we decided to specifically pray for during this course of time that we wanted to see the Lord do. And the Lord answered those specific prayers. You see, I already shared that there was a struggle. We felt like we were being pulled between these two directions, one to go and serve in Newfoundland, and the other to stay and serve in Vannevar. And honestly, looking at it from a pure human perspective, either one was the right choice. Either one was was a good choice, but only one was the right choice, because only one could be God's will for us. And so what we started praying, both Katie and myself, was we started praying that the Lord would take away one of those two desires. And we didn't specify which one. We left that up to the Lord. We said, Lord, will you just please take away one of these desires? We have the desire to be in both places, ministering, serving you. Please take away one of those. And we fully expected that the Lord would take away the desire for Newfoundland. But as we began to pray and as the months grew, we saw our desires shifting, that the Lord began to change within us those desires. And the desires and the goals that we had for Vannevara were being diminished, and the desire to serve him in Newfoundland was growing. And it was very, it was very humbling to see that, because, again, this was nothing that we had ever planned or anything that we had really even imagined before, that this would be what we would do. But the Lord began to change our desires. And turn to Philippians chapter 3 for a moment. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we see here how the Lord works in that way. Philippians chapter 2, we know the first 11 verses is speaking of the example of Christ and the mindset of a servant, how we are to esteem others better than ourselves, and let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. We come to verse 12 here, where the Apostle Paul starts to summarize some of this. And in verse 12 he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now what verse 13 there is what I've been trying to share a little bit here. We see how God works in the life of a believer. Here we see several things. It says God works in you both to will and to do. So there's two parts to this. We see God works inside a believer. God works within a believer to change his desires, to change his will. Basically, you can think of it this way. God works within us to give us his desires. And then when we have his desires that he wants us to have, he gives us the ability to fulfill those desires and thus fulfill his will for our lives. The key with that is we have to be close to him and be in right fellowship with him in order for him to change our desires and put his desires within us. If we're out of fellowship with the Lord, we're following our own desires. We're following our own plan, what we esteem as the most important. And so we cannot know the will of God, because our desires and his desires are so completely opposite from each other. And so when we maintain a right fellowship with the Lord, when we put him first, he works within us to change our desires. Psalm 37:4 is also speaks of this. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." He's not talking about giving you what you want. When you delight in the Lord, you are desiring what God wants, and then he lets you fulfill those desires. And so what I believe God was doing in our lives was the very same thing. He was changing our desires and using that to point us to his will, what he wanted for us. He changed our desires, gave us new desires, and now he's allowing us the opportunity to go and fulfill those desires. But this was all in these months of wrestling, this time of seeking the Lord's face over this decision. And Katie can tell you just as well, there were many days where I just had to get alone. I would go down to the drive down to the river and just spend time down there praying, reading the Word of God. I'd go to our coworker's apartment. They were back on furlough, so their apartment was empty. I'd go over there, get alone, study, read, pray, and just literally just pour out my soul to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, what do you want us to do? And it was almost a little frustrating because we knew it was like, Lord, we just want to do what you want us to do. Whatever your will is, that's what we'll do. And yet it seemed like the Lord was not giving us his answer. And this went on, it was 6 months. It was July through December of last year that we were wrestling with this and seeking the Lord's face over it. But another lesson that the Lord taught me through that was that he has a plan in making us wait. The Lord will not always give us the answer immediately. He wants us to wait, to continue to seek his face, to continue to draw closer to him, to continue to seek him, and to teach us through that process. See, the Lord uses the process as well as the actual event, many times more so in the process. And Exodus 14:13, we know the verse well. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, as God was speaking to Moses there, as the children of Israel were on the brink of the Red Sea. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Many times we see through the Word of God that God's initial answer might be to simply wait on him. And during this process, I read a very interesting quote from Charles Spurgeon as I was reading through one of his devotional books, his morning and evening devotional. He was commenting on Exodus 14:13 about standing still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he made this statement. He said, what if for a while thou art called to stand still, yet this is but to renew thy strength for some greater advance in due time? See, sometimes the Lord tells us to be still because he's given us an opportunity to get closer to him, to renew our strength with him, so that we can be prepared and equipped for something greater in the future that we can't even see yet. But God in his omnipotence and omniscience already knows what's coming, and he's giving us the reprieve, so to speak, the opportunity to simply draw near to him, renew our strength with him, in preparation for something ahead. And so we continued praying about this and seeking the Lord's will. And as I said, it wasn't until December that the Lord gave us his answer. December 21st, which happens to be Elliot's birthday, but it was before we were getting ready to celebrate his birthday that evening. But that day was just, I felt so completely overwhelmed by the decision, by the burden of trying to understand what the Lord wants us to do. And so I got alone. I went over to our coworker's apartment and I just prayed. I said, Lord, you know, all we want to do is just your will. Will you please show me what you want us to do? And then just as we read in Isaiah 30, still small voice of the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, just ask me. Ask me to let you go. And so I did. I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, you've given us these desires. These desires for Newfoundland are getting stronger. Will you let us go and fulfill these desires that I believe you have put in our lives and in our hearts? And when I prayed that, the peace that God gave
at that moment.
Flood my soul. It was so overwhelming that I knew it was a yes, that was what the Lord wanted. All the turmoil that was in my soul was gone at that moment. The peace that God gave was the seal on the answer that He had given me. We don't have much time left this morning, but I'm going to share with you two more verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Here we have a direct command from the Lord. And let. It's in the imperative tense, imperative mode, that this is a command. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The idea of that word rule is to arbitrate, to act as a judge, to govern. So the peace of God is what should control and govern our lives, our decisions as believers. See, God has given us the promise that He will direct our paths. The Holy Spirit will direct and lead. And His peace that He sends is like the stamp, the seal on the direction that He gives you. And I'm convinced that without that peace, you are foolish to make any decision about the will of God. Because we have a command here that it is supposed to govern us, to rule us. There's a couple pages back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, we see the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep. The idea behind that word, again, keep, is like to set a watch, a guard, to put under surveillance, to keep secure. The peace of God will not only guide and direct, but it will keep and secure you as you follow the Lord in the direction that He has given you. And we have seen that ever since the Lord made clear to us what His direction was. After we got the Lord's answer in December, we began the process of sharing it with others who needed to know. First, our co-workers, then our pastor, mission board director, family, friends, and of course, Emily and Patrick. They were actually some of the last ones to know, because we wanted to be sure that this was what the Lord wanted before anything was ever mentioned to them. And of course, they took time as well, sought the Lord's face about it. They received answers specific from the Lord that, yes, this is indeed what He wants for us to work together. And so, but through this process, ever since December, the peace of God has kept our hearts and our minds as we have followed the Lord and His direction to Newfoundland. Moving is never easy on anybody when you do it, especially trying to move halfway around the world when all you can take is 8 suitcases with you back on an airplane. But through all of that, the process of liquidating our household and our stuff and just doing all that, there was an overwhelming peace that God's in control. This is absolutely what He wants us to do. And we were excited to be able to do it. The joy that comes from knowing that this is absolutely what God wants. is something that cannot be replaced. There's a lot more that I could say about this. Many things, as I said, this has been a long process for us. But we are 100% convinced, both on specific answers that God has given us in His Word. He gave both Katie and I very specific passages that confirmed that this is what He wanted us to do, as well as specific answer to prayer. And based on the authority of God's Word and specific answers to specific prayers, we know that this is God's will for us, and we're following Him to begin ministry in Newfoundland. At this point, we don't necessarily know what that's going to entail, but we don't have to. We know the One who has it all in control, and it's our job just to simply follow Him in faith. And so we have just a couple minutes left here. I wanted to give the opportunity, maybe someone has some questions, we can try to answer quickly if you have any. Any questions at all for us or anything? All right. Yes, Adam. Immediate plans, probably here in a couple weeks. We're looking somewhere around the 12th of June. We'll be probably flying up to Newfoundland and spend about 3 weeks to a month with Emily and Patrick up there, just kind of surveying the area, trying to find housing options, talking with the banks and seeing what are our possibilities for housing. Go ahead and get involved in the ministry there. Start meeting the people, ministering alongside Emily and Patrick, and talking with them, hashing out our roles and responsibilities and how everything's going to be taking place. And then at the end of that, we'll come back here to Stratton for another couple weeks until the end of July, and then head down to our missionary candidate school with our mission board. It's a week-long training session. And then we'll go down to North Carolina with my family and our home church and spend about a month and a half with them there. And then at the end of September, our pastor has us in our missions conference at our home church. And then once we complete that, then we'll start traveling on furlough, reporting back to our churches. And then, Lord willing, sometime next year, we'll be able to move up to Newfoundland. Don't know exactly what we'd like to do would be able to report back to all of our churches, all of our supporting churches, since we've not had an opportunity to do that thus far, hit them all at one time. So we'd like to try to do that, and that could extend our time in the States a little bit or shorten it, depending on how the schedule falls. But Lord willing, we'd like to be up in Newfoundland sometime by next summer. Anybody else? Okay, if not, then why don't we stand and close in prayer, and then, or Pastor, and turn it back over to you.